We just got through with the Christmas season, and now we're looking forward to New Year's. This is always a real busy time of year, but, you know, it seems that at the end of the year, one of the things that we do is we tend to look forward. We look forward and we look back. We look back into the past year and see how things have went for us, things that we could have done a little better, some things that we're thankful for. And then we look forward to next year and see, well, what things can I do a little different? And we make these New Year's resolutions and things such as that. And I'm not going to really go into any New Year's resolutions, but one thing that I want to look for today as we look into God's Word is to see a little bit about what our mindset should be for the next year. Not just for the next year, but for today and tomorrow, the last 2 days of this year, and our mindset for the next year. Because we tend to look forward to a lot of things. We look forward to, well, I look forward to being a father, and I look forward to lunch here in about 20 minutes. And, you know, we look forward to a lot of things, from small things to great things in our life. And as we are focusing our minds on different things that we want in life, let's look a little bit about what God wants for us. What God wants for us to think about, to put our minds on. Because the bottom line of it is that Christ wants our minds to dwell on Him. Christ wants our minds to live in a state of thinking about Him and who He is and the sacrifice that He gave for us. I want to look at some of the reasons why we should be thinking about Christ. One is because our thoughts become our actions. Whatever we think about, that's what we're going to end up doing. And whatever we do it enough, and it's going to become our habits. And that's what we're going to fall into, and that's what we're going to make into our character. Because our character is based on the habits that we have. And our character determines our life. You want to look at a person's life as a whole. If you have someone who is rotten inside, it doesn't matter what they look like on the outside. Sooner or later, you're going to find out their character by the way they live their life over a long period of time. And so when we're looking at being a Christian and thinking about Christ, it is so that we can have a life that's dedicated to Him. A life that is holy and is holy like God is holy, as Peter encourages to be. God in Deuteronomy 6, well, God through Moses, in Deuteronomy 6, you can go ahead and turn there. Deuteronomy 6, Moses, as he is standing before Israel, this is the last thing he's going to be able to tell them. The whole book of Deuteronomy is Moses' encouragement to the children of Israel before they enter the land and he dies. This is the last thing that he says to them. Well, not the very last thing, because this is chapter 6 and there's quite a few more chapters after it. But this is at the same time. In chapter 6, starting in verse 4, Moses says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, And when you lie down and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourselves that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Moses says, first and foremost, love the Lord with everything you have. And whenever you look at what he wants for you to do in your life, you put it in every aspect of your life. Whenever you're walking around, whenever you're sitting down, when you're talking to your children, whenever you're talking to your friends, when you go out on a date, whenever you go to the movies, whenever you sit down to read a book, whenever you watch TV, whenever you lay down in your bed at night, in every aspect of your life, look at what God has commanded you. Because when things start going good for you, when you start having, a little money in your pocket, whenever you start having good things that you've surrounded yourself with, like a nice house or maybe a car and a good family and these such things, sometimes you can forget who gave them to you. But not only that, you can forget where he brought you from. We are to remember everything that God has done for us. We are to focus on God and his commandments every second of our day, because he has redeemed us. He has saved our soul. And as David said in Psalm 1, that was just read for us. Thank you there, Gabe. Did a good job. In Psalm 1, David said that, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he goes on to describe him as a fruitful tree that's planted by water that will continue to grow and to flourish. That is the man that meditates on God's word day and night. Solomon said in Proverbs 23 that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The things that you think on in your heart are the things that you're going to become. That's the fact of the business. That's the way God made us. The things that we dwell on in our mind, that's what we become. That's the way that God wants us. But let's look at Christ's opinion on this. Christ, God in flesh, when he came down in the very beginning of his ministry, the first thing that we read about him in Matthew 4 . Jesus had just went out and been baptized by John the Baptist, which was the beginning of his time of ministry, of the last 3 years that he had on earth. And right after he was baptized, he went out into the wilderness and stayed there for 40 days with no water and no food. No food or no water. He was in the wilderness focusing on the task at hand. and to be tempted of the devil. Verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, then he became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Now that's a low blow, don't you think? The devil knows where to get us. He knows everything about us. And he saw that Jesus had been out, hadn't eaten anything for 40 days, and that this man was hungry. And so he comes up to him and he says, "If you're the Son of God, you can just make those stones into bread." It'd be that easy. Then you'd have something to eat. You ever been hungry? You ever been really, really hungry? Think about the most hungry that you've ever been. And if someone asked you to do something that was immoral just for a meal, would you do it? What would you say to them? Because Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days. And the devil goes, "You have the opportunity. You have the power to do it. Why don't you just do it?" And listen to Jesus' reply. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Life is not based on food. Life is not based on clothing or our houses or our belongings. Life is based on the words that God gives us. That's where life is. That's where life is. And then Jesus, right after that in Matthew 5, he's on a mountain or a mountain, a hill, and he's talking to these people around him. He's preaching this sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And in this sermon, he says a few things like, "You've been told that you shall not kill, but I say, don't hate." He says, "You've been told before that you shouldn't steal, but I say, don't covet." He says, "You've been told that you should not commit fornication, but I say, don't lust." Jesus takes the actions and brings it all the way back into our heart and says, "You've been told not to do these things, but I'm telling you, don't even think about them. I don't want you to think about them." And you know why? Because in the end, if you think about it enough, if you dwell on it, you'll end up doing it. And that's where you'll be. Paul says in Philippians 4:8. Into this book of Philippians, this is Paul writing from prison, most probably one of the last letters that he ever wrote before he was killed. He was looking at death. And the last thing he sees in prison, looking at death, in verse 8, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." That's not a suggestion, church. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. If you can find these things in around you, pureness, holiness, goodness, live there. Let your mind stay there. In Colossians, the next book over, in chapter 3, Paul tells the church at Colossae, verse 1, "Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory." If Christ has redeemed you, if you have given your life over to Him, if you've submitted to Him in baptism, and you've came up and you're a new creature, set your mind on the things above. Because the earth will just drag you back down into what you were in before. Dwell on God. Dwell on Christ. Dwell on these good things. That was a great passage Dave read earlier, Romans 12, 1 and 2. "For all that God has done for us," he says, "Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable." Right? Because that's your reasonable service. But then that second verse says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." How? "By renewing your mind." Our actions, our life, start here. They start here in our thoughts. I've been working for David for a little while, David Wolf. And my partner, Jim, that I work with, he was in the military, and I know a great deal of you in here have been in the military, so you can understand this. He was in a support unit, and it was a mechanical unit. So basically what he did was he helped them do their job, and then if anything broke, him and his people fixed it. But whenever they weren't in wartime, he told me about this one time. They were in Arizona, and they were doing these training missions for 6 months straight, 3 days on, 3 days off. And in the 3 days off, they stayed in the barracks where they could see their houses, but they couldn't go visit their family because they were wanting a wartime scenario for these people. And for 6 months, they were out in the heat in their hazmat uniforms, doing all this training over and over and over again. They had these different scenarios that they would do, one of which was they had a 90% casualty rate. So all these people were dead, and they had to figure out a way to do some accomplishment in this mission that they had. And this is training over and over and over. And you go, why in the world would they put them through all that? Why in the world would they put them through all this mess out there in the heat with sweat coming up to their knees and in their waterproof uniforms? And like, why would they have to go through all that? And the reason is, armies train to prepare soldiers, so that whenever they are in a wartime scenario, whenever they are in war, they will know what to do and fear won't overcome them. Did you get that? Armies train so that they will be able to act in a time of war without fear. We as Christians are in a war. Now, we might not be able to see it. We might not be able to actively see what's going on, but there is a war out there. There is a war, and the devil is the enemy, and he is after your soul. But he's not just after your soul. He's after your soul and your children's souls, and your family's souls, and your friends' souls, and people you meet souls, and people you've never met souls. And the sad fact is there are casualties that outnumber the victories from what we see. People are lost and dying left and right in their sins. And we don't see it sometimes because we get so caught up in our own fears or our own wants, and we forget what God has done for us and what He can do for everyone else in their life. And He wants us to remember Him in every second of every day, so that whenever we go into that battlefield outside of those doors, that we will not act in fear, that we will be courageous, and that we will stand up for Him and fight for Him and help save souls in this world that He sent His Son to die for. In conclusion, I want you to think. I want you to take just a minute and think about the last week. And think about how often you've wasted your time with foolish things. And I want you to know, this isn't just you, this is me too. Think about how often over the last week you've spent thinking about God compared to how often you've done foolish things. How much time have you given to God in your life? Is your life a living sacrifice? When the devil comes up to you in your daily life and he says, "Oh, that website's not really bad," or "That book's, it's not that bad of a book," or "That TV show, it's really not that bad," or "You know you'll enjoy that movie," or "That person deserves you treating them bad," what do you say? Do you say, "You know, you're right"? Or do you say, "Man doesn't live by all that mess, devil. I don't live by the things you have for me in this world"? Do you have the courage to tell the devil, "I live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God"? Because that's Jesus' stand. And He wants you to focus on the things that He focused on while He was here. If you need some help in your life, if you're a Christian and you're struggling, now is a time that we assemble together so that we can lean on one another and help one another out. Help bear one another's burdens. But if you are lost, if you have not even taken on the name of Christ in baptism, if you've not died to your sins, there's no better time than today. No better time than today. Start off the new year right, dedicating your life to something more than what this world has to offer. If there's anything we can help you with,